Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am so excited about this segment this morning because we have an amazing guest who will be joining us momentarily. She's hanging out in the virtual green room, and I just can't wait to bring her on. So for those of you who will be listening online, I want you to text your friends, tweet your friends, and let them know where to plug into this morning on blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson, because I tell you, this is a segment you will want to be part of. The chat room is up and running, and we are just going to be rocking and rolling this morning. Before I go into my housekeeping, I want to read today's devotion with you because I think it is just so fitting for our conversation this morning. It came to pass before he had done speaking, and he said, "Blessed be Jehovah, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth. Genesis 24, verses 15 and 27. Every right prayer is answered before the prayer itself is finished. Before we have done speaking, this is because God has pledged his word to us, and whatsoever we ask in Christ's name, that is in oneness with Christ and his will, and in faith, shall be done. As God's word cannot fail, whenever we meet those simple conditions in prayer, the answer to our prayer has been granted and completed in heaven as we pray. Even though it's showing forth on earth may not occur until long afterwards. So it is well to close every prayer with praise to God for the answer that he has already granted. He who never forsakes his loving kindness and his truth. When we believe for a blessing, we must take the attitude of faith and begin to act and pray as if we had the blessing. We must treat God as if he had given us our request. We must lean our weight upon him for the thing that we have claimed and just take it for granted that he gives it and is going to continue to give it. This is the attitude of trust. When the wife is married, she at once falls into a new attitude and acts in accordance with the fact. And so when we take Christ as our Savior and our Sanctifier, as our Healer or our Deliverer, he expects us to fall into the attitude of recognizing him in the capacity that we have claimed and expect to be him to be to us all that we have trusted him for. The thing I ask when God doth bid me pray begins in the same act to come my way. And that is so true, because too often we pray and we get up back of our knees or whatever position we did assume during prayer, and we start worrying again instead of giving God praise and thanksgiving. And I think this was fitting to share this morning as the conversation that we will be entering into momentarily. I want to remind you that you can call in during our conversation. And the telephone number for that is 646-915-8166. If you're in the chat room and you have a question, please feel free to type your question and I will take it to our distinguished guest. Now, I want to do a bit of housekeeping, and it's just a gentle, loving reminder that the Vision Weekend Conference 2010 date has been pushed back for September the 3rd and 4th. And that Vision Conference is specifically designed for entrepreneurs, wannabe entrepreneurs, and those people who are standing right in the middle, not sure what they want to do. This conference is to help you shape your vision for greater success. It will take place at the Exquisite Heritage Hotel and Spa here in Connecticut. And they also have one of the country's most gorgeous golf courses. So if you are a golfer, you want to be at that conference as well and just take some time to get your game right, not only in your business, but you'll be able to go out on the golf course and play some golf and meet some other golfers. And you never know. You know, it is said that a lot of big contracts get closed on the golf course. So bear that in mind, you know. So, again, the telephone number that you can call is 646-915-8166. And let me hear from you. I want to welcome the people in the chat room. Thank you for coming and thank you for spending time with us. And let us show our guests some love and appreciation for taking her time to spend with us this morning. And now, we are, as usual, broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut this morning, and it is a beautiful, gorgeous day here in Connecticut. It is such a blessing for me to be alive this morning to experience this day, and I pray that wherever you are, you too are giving thanks for the opportunity and privilege to be experiencing this day. Without any further delay, I would love to take this opportunity to welcome my distinguished guest, Mrs. Shawn Stevens. Good morning, Shawn. How are you?
Good morning, Daphne. It's amazing. You are so energized and so upbeat. I have to tell you, you're contagious. So it's great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's God is so good because God puts his people together. I know you and I met way back when, and I keep saying to people, Shawn, that the social media has been the best thing since salvation. Because if it was not for the social media, you and I would not be in conversations, because we met first on speaker site. And then it was back in March that we met in person at the conference down in Baltimore. So it is just an amazing thing. And I encourage those people who are not yet embracing social media to get busy, because you don't know what you are missing out on. And as I read your bio, and I said, my heavens, there's so much of my story intertwining in Shawn's story. So, you know, we are more alike than we are different in this world. So I thank you for coming on this morning and to spend some time to help me educate, inspire, and empower the listeners of the A New Day Show.
I do appreciate it. And you couldn't have said that better. We are more alike than we are different. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of mutually agree with all that you just said. So, yeah,
yes,
it's amazing,
yes,
the internet connection,
yes,
and
yes,
what can happen with that. Yeah.
Yes. So, Guyana, South America.
Yeah.
Let us go. And I wanted to introduce yourself, Shawn, and with your humble beginnings, you know, tell the listeners who Shawn was, how when she came into this world, her humble beginnings, and then we are going to move up the ladder to where talking about faith versus faith.
Well, I could begin by saying I was born to, you know, a beautiful family, a mom and dad. My dad is no longer here, but I always give credit to my mom because she had the faith to basically not believe the doctors that told her that she would never have children, and I was the miracle that came about. So, I mean, going as far back as my birth, that in itself is a miracle. I think life in itself is such a gift and a present. So I go back always there because as a child growing up, I kind of, you know, realized I was the first grandchild for my immediate, you know, family, paternal and maternal side. So I had a lot of the responsibilities of, as my other brothers and sisters and cousins came along, I had the responsibility of being the best, doing the best, and nothing less was expected of me. So that's where I began, and family values really kind of stick with me still today. We were, you know, back in the day, you know, really grew up with values and ethics and principles, and it was always you had to go to church every Sunday morning. So I grew up really understanding those values, and then growing from that to learning about myself and searching for truth in a way whereby had I not have that upbringing, I would not have really kind of ended up where I am today. So those values really form who you are. Though it might not be what you kind of, you know, like at the beginning, because it's like you got to follow the rules, but you realize that you appreciate it a little later. So that's a little bit of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with my grandparents, so it was like growing up with them and then transitioning to my mom and dad at the age of 10, I think, is when I really moved to live with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. So that became a different kind of situation for me because I, you know, I was kind of spoiled by my grandparents. So mm-hmm. having to, you know, be under the rule and having to do like housework and chores and all that stuff, it's something. Not that I didn't do that at my grandparents, but I got away with not having to do as much. But more responsibilities, you know, kind of like I had to take on. But that taught me a lot of discipline. It taught me a lot of respect, and it really taught me, you know, how to treat others. And we were always told, you know, to be kind and never, you know, disregard or disrespect anyone. That was one of the things I think was very key for me growing up.
And, you know, Sean, for, you know, listening to your story, the West Indian Islands, they do not differ much. Because back in Jamaica, too, thousands of miles away from Guyana, there I was growing up in the same kind of culture. On Sunday, all road leads to church. It's no if and but. Now I know people are asking their children, do you want to go to church? No. As children, we weren't asked that question. From Saturday night, you know, you get your clothes together because you're going to church Sunday morning. And for me, it was a long walk to church.
Mhm. Yeah, well, you either walk or you ride or whatever you did, but you got there.
Exactly. You did what you had to do. And it was last week I think I was doing a taping, and I was mentioning the same thing, that my parents were farmers. But the one thing they gave me that helps me even today is the values and the morals that they instill in me. Mm-hmm. They were wealthy. They didn't have material things, but they were wealthy because, you know, what they gave me, the wealth they gave me and the legacy they invested in me is helping me today to be the kind of person I am. So I am so thrilled to hear you sharing the same story.
Oh, yeah. I think we all, you know, again, coming from somewhere else, I mean, America is built on, as you know, this country is a beautiful, empowering country, a country
yes.
of freedom, built on immigration, built on someone, everyone coming from someplace else, mm-hmm. and this huge melting pot that we have. So I think our values are, it doesn't differ at all when you come down to the core of who we are. So, but I really am thrilled to, you know, to have had the dream as a child. That's one of the dreams I did have as a child growing up, way back in my childhood, like 6 or 7 years old. And America was always, to me, where I realized, you know what, if I get there, there's so much I can do. I don't know why I felt that. I mean, but somehow I knew it. I think it really stemmed from my aunt who came away back in the colonial days, because we were a British colony back
right,
in those
so,
times, and she left
yep.
in the 60s and came to America. But I didn't know that she couldn't really adopt me or send for me. I'd be writing her letters at the age of 6 and 7, 8 years
mm-hmm.
old.
Mm-hmm.
But she never told me that she really didn't have a permanent status in this country. Didn't know what that meant until 23
exactly.
years later.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
but my dream never died. And I always kind of really let people understand it's really clinging to what you believe.
That's
even
right.
when that belief began, I don't
That's
know.
Right.
It could
That's
begin
right.
at any age. But for me, it was
exactly.
as a child.
Exactly. And it is so important to hold on to those dreams and never give them up. The one thing you also need to do, continue giving thanks for the manifestation of that dream, because as I read in the devotional prior to beginning the show, it is already done.
Yeah.
And the reason why we are not experiencing this is because we don't have the faith and the belief, and we are not thanking God for its manifestation. So those things, it's not difficult. It's the simple practices that we get into. All the energy we spend, some people spend gossiping and, you know, watching the soap operas and all of that. Spend some quality time investing in what you want your life result to portray. So, Sean, let us move forward to coming to the USA. All those years you wrote your auntie, you didn't understand what it was that was preventing you from coming at that time. You didn't have a clarity as a child. But there came that time when now you can come to America. What did that felt like?
I still feel that feeling today. It was just a moment of truth for me, a moment of, like, exhilaration. I felt so free. I actually walked back the day I got my visa. I'm not going to share the whole story because it's in my book, but the day I got the visa, I walked back to my job because I was working at the bank at the time as a loans representative running a department, you know, long story short. Mm-hmm. But I actually walked back on air, like, because I was almost not on the ground, and I find myself back at my desk, and I didn't even know how I got there.
Oh, my God.
That's how thrilling that was, because what happened was they told me I needed to come back the afternoon because they normally would put the visa in your passport. Mm-hmm. And the whole amazing thing about that is this is how the dream manifested. You see, you can dream a dream, but the manifestation of the dream is you staying with it and doing the action steps that would allow that dream to manifest. You can dream, daydream all the time. It's different in manifesting. And what I did was at the age of 17, I got me a passport. I realized that if I'm going to travel to America, that I'm talking about traveling to America since I was like 6 or 7, then how am I going to get there given the opportunity? So what I did was at the age of 17, I got me a passport, and everybody was thinking, well, where do you think you're going? What do you need a passport for?
Mm-hmm.
So 7 years later, I got a visa. So it took 7 years, but I already had the passport ready and prepared to be able to do that.
And you know something? If you had gotten the passport earlier, you would have been in America, because God would say, oh, she's ready. Now she has the passport to get the visa in. But you never had the passport, so you didn't get it. So,
well, I was younger, and as a child growing up, you know, you had, like, the parental issues where at a certain age you couldn't get it on your own. And I waited until it was, I was the age that was, like, you know, legal to be able to apply for it and didn't need a parent signature.
That's right. So. And anybody to say, oh, girl, we don't have the money to pay because now you're working. And it's just so amazing that you can create what you want. You can create the life you want if you want it bad enough. You know, people have to believe in that dream. Hold on to it. You have to smell it, taste it, and feel it every day in order for it to manifest. So you end up in the land of America, and I don't know about you, but, you know, back home in Jamaica, we had lots of people that came up here. Some came as farm workers. Others came as domestic help, and they would come back, and they would paint a picture, of America. And then a lot of surprises hit me when I came here, because not everything that they told me was so when I got here, because the way they had painted it, you would think the streets were paved with gold and everything like that. And here we got here, and surprise, surprise, it is still the greatest land of opportunity. But a lot of fabrication took place when people came back. I guess they think you would never get the opportunity to come here, so they told us anything. So you came here, and you started working. You did what you had to do. You work, although you were a loans manager in the West Indies. And I tell you, listeners, if you have never been to the West Indies, or if you do not know anyone, being a loans manager in the West Indies is one of the biggest jobs that you can hold. on the island. I know it is that way in Jamaica. It's not everybody can land a job like that. So you gave that job up in Guyana and you came to America and you started working as what?
I started working as a waitress. My family had a restaurant, and that was the blessing. When I look at everything I've gone through, and I look back on reflection, because you always reflect and realize that everything in your life, it is a pathway that is bringing you to your fullest dimension, to your fullest potential. But I started where, when I landed here, my aunt and uncle owned a restaurant in Plainfield. So I was able to begin work because we grew up in a family that knew how to cook. And I had a lot of cooking skills from my grandmother and all that and from my mom. So they saw me as an added asset to the restaurant to bring some new and fresh dishes. Because, you know, Jamaican cooks like, you know, the Caribbean has a flavor. So we had, like, the curry chicken and the curry goat and all the other stuff you think about, too. And, again, we had, like, what you call the puri and all that stuff, you know. So there's a lot of great, delicate dishes that, we bring to this country, like every other culture does. So I fit right in, and I began working. But it was long, grueling hours. A restaurant is not – I mean, cooking is one thing. You love to cook. That's great. But to run a restaurant, it's a totally different situation.
That's right.
That was my first time. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't leave the restaurant until, like, maybe 2, 3 o'clock the next morning. I got to be up to be back. So you get, like, 2, 3 hours of sleep. You know, and then you have to serve. You know, I talk about, you know, some of the, you know, humiliating things that happened while being there. But I still look back, and I really – the good has overshadowed what may have been my travail, and I really look back on that and I laugh at that now, realizing that, that just made me stronger to pursue more of what I wanted and what I desire. So I started at a restaurant, and I didn't stay there very long. I really didn't see that that was my Mecca. And my family was very disappointed because they were like, thinking because my aunt paid my passage because I came with nothing. Sometimes I try and tell people, well, I had 25 cents in my pocket, but I was broke. I had no money. But I had a family that, you know, that loved me, and my aunt, who I'd never met, the first time I met her is 23 years later. She left when I was 9 months. So that reunion was a 23-year, because I came here, I was turning 23 that September in 93, and my uncle, who she married to, I'd never met him before, a cousin who I'd never met. She came back to our country that year, and that's the first time I'm going to meet my aunt in the flesh. So it was really a thrilling time for her, being able to travel back to her country after all those years. But I was able to start there and have the security of a roof over my head, a bed to sleep in, some clothing to wear, you know. And my bright tie and bushy tail, because I was so just thrilled to be here. That I'm like, I'm here. I don't care about anything else.
And
I just really kind of took a hold of that. What I felt inside was such joy that I did it. Like, this dream came through, you know.
America. And I'm sure, Sean, as you look back over those days in the restaurant, serving as a waitress, and you look back over the different personalities, that was not time wasted. It helped mold you for what you're doing now. It helped to mold you. There are no experiences in life that are wasted. If we take the time to look over them, dissect them, and say, well, what's the lesson here? There got to be a lesson that I learned here. And based on what I know from the work that you and I do, you learned that lesson well because you were promoted out of there.
Oh, my gosh. I sure was. But you know what? It came about whereby the journey continued, and I actually ended up after, I think, 3 months of being in the restaurant. You know, family tell you stories like, you know, they make things look better because I had an uncle here on my dad's side, my dad's brother, who was like my best uncle, and he came here years ago, and of course we connected, and they had just gotten a child, and this story, a lot of our Caribbean folks and a lot of immigrants is going to relate, where you have one family, you know, painting one picture, and the other family saying, well, come here, it's going to be better over here, like the grass is not greener on the other side. What they saw in me was like, they saw a nanny, and I love my family, but I love my little cousin too. He was just he's turning one that year, so I now moved with them for better, so to speak. I'm like, I can't do this restaurant thing anymore. And I got to, you know, this is not what I planned for. This is not what I came to America for. And, and of course, as a young girl, you know, you're getting all these ideas as to, you know,
that's
whatever.
Right.
So I left and went with my uncle. But guess what? That really was not the greener side. And at the next week after being there, like a week and a half, I got the newspaper and said, uh-uh, I got to find me some work.
Exactly.
So when I, you know, so I started working as a housekeeper all the way. This is New Jersey now, all the way like far south of where we lived. I was all the way in Toms River, my first official like working in America, you know. And that was a crazy story. I'm not even going into it, but it's in the book. I mean, I could laugh at that now, but that time I was scared, and I couldn't call the authorities with things that happened with this gentleman tried to do to me. And he actually, the funny thing was, he said was this. This is one of my the pivotal moments in being an American, understanding if you don't have your residency and you don't have legal status to work. Because I came on a 6 month. I want people to understand. I came on a 6 month multiple visa. I mean, not a 6 month, a 5 year multiple. They give me 6 months to be in the country.
Right.
So I didn't have, you know, status to work. I could have worked with my family or whatever, but there was no, I didn't have working papers.
That's right.
You know, so being in that situation and having to go through, you know, the thing with, you know, working for this gentleman and him, you know, having advances at me, I couldn't call the police.
That's right.
You know, so that left me in a place to buy, okay, what do I do? And the one thing that was that this gentleman said to me was, you know, I pay the Africans. I pay once a month. And you can't, you know, I'm like, what is that supposed to mean, you know? So I was being treated as though it was like contemporary slavery. I mean, it's kind of a way to put it, but that's how, like, I haven't gone through that. Our foreparents did, you know, in that time. But I felt that way because that's how he looked down on me. In that regard, and you know, but again, I still am grateful today for going through that because it allows me to, you know, to really have empathy and have compassion and understand the person is not the person, that's the personality, and everyone has a light within them that if you reach them, they are that who they are, that real true being. So I was able to really, you know, take that as a really great lesson in my life and going through that little piece. And that lasted like a month because I walked away. I said, you know what? One thing happened that blew up, and I said, this is not what I signed up for. I am leaving, you know. So.
And, you know, we can always go back to our childhood and think about those days when our parents and our grandparents taught us to go on our knees. When everything else fails, go on our knees and just present our case to our Father, because He will help us out of there.
Absolutely.
So, I know there are a lot of people who can, you know, relate to the story, and they are saying, if I'm listening to Sean now, rise out of that valley, and is on top of the mountain singing her praises, so can I. I want to remind the listeners that the chat room is open. I want to remind you that you can call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Let us hear from you, because I know you got some stories to share too. So if anything that Sean has just mentioned is part of who you are, and if you have an insight you want to share, let us hear from you. Now, 40 days fast. There was one stage of your life that decided, oh, I need some clarity. I need some focus. I got to reach in. And you went on a fast, not for 5 days, not for 10 days, but for 40 days. How did that came about?
You know, it's just so fresh in my mind. It's something that happened where I'd gotten the, you know, people talk about the American dream, and I came here on that same, you know, kind of a mentality on the American dream and achieving the American dream. And that is really, to me, it equates to, as much people would know, you know, the house, the great job, the, you know, and all that stuff equates to the American dream. I mean, owning a home in America, I think, is one of the biggest item you'll ever have or asset you'll ever acquire in this country. And when I got to that place where I got my citizenship, I'm legally here, I have a great paying job, and my husband finally came, because I grew up with my young day sweetheart. We grew up together. I was 13, he was 16, and he finally came. I didn't see family for about 5 years before I even went back to my country. So I got to the place whereby, and my faith always kept me through, as I said earlier in the call, I grew up with those values. I grew up with those, you know, those in inner self-belief and believing in yourself. And I got to the point whereby I had achieved, you know, what people might think of this great life, you know, like the picket fence kind of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what it looks like on the outside, people assume assumptions really is you know, making a, I'm not going to say the word, between mm-hmm. you and me, if you split mm-hmm. the word up,
mm-hmm.
and people mm-hmm. assume and perceive you to be a certain way, or
mm-hmm.
you have certain things, and
mm-hmm.
I was miserable. I actually became an entrepreneur through a company I got involved with, you know, as an
mm-hmm.
independent,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of touched my taste buds on, I can stand alone, I can do this, I don't need to be working for someone else to create a life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd gotten to the point whereby I really had, you know, I really didn't need or want for anything. You know, we were
mm-hmm.
taken care of, our bills were paid, I brought my mom and dad, I got married, brought my husband, so we had good family surrounding us. However, there was an emptiness. I just didn't feel fulfilled. I mean, it was all material, but something was going on my spiritual side, and I was shorting for some. Yes, I'll pray, yes, I'll go on my knees, yes, I'll do all that, but something was missing, and I kind of broke down. I was away alone. My husband said, look, I'm not coming to this conference of yours. You can go by yourself
mm-hmm.
because I don't know anybody. Anyways, I
mm-hmm.
ended up in Vegas all alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in September 11th, ironically, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, you know, the walls of my, you know, kind of my, you know, my agony and my pain just kind of started flooding to the surface, and I
mm-hmm.
all I could do was drop on my knees in that hotel room. That was the best hotel room with all the, you know, it's a big space, but the space was so empty and hollow, I
mm-hmm.
felt dark.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I was in the best room possible at the MGM Grand, and there I am, and everybody's thinking Sean is on top of the world, but I'm going through this stuff. And I dropped
mm-hmm.
to my knees, and I said, God, if you don't show me what it is, and I cried out, I said, who am
mm-hmm.
I, why am I here, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to be doing?
Mm.
And from that place, I woke up, and I shared some of this in the book, where I woke up and I was watching, they were doing the September 11th reruns on the
mm-hmm.
Trade Towers, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't watch that. I think I fell asleep with the television on when them
mm-hmm.
rehashing what
mm-hmm.
happened on that day. But
mm-hmm.
in my mind, I was just like distraught. I don't know how I got into the bed. However,
mm.
when I woke up that morning, I kind of woke straight up. Like, I don't know what jolted me up. And
mm-hmm.
the name in my head was the word Gideon. And
mm-hmm.
if anybody, you know the story of Gideon, I couldn't remember the story. I didn't
mm-hmm.
know what it was. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't find it in the Bible where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
normally I would always walk with a little testament or something in my
mm-hmm.
walk. I always would have something. And in my bag,
mm-hmm.
I changed bags and didn't have one. But
mm-hmm.
I pulled the drawer next to me in the room, I
okay.
found the Bible. And
mm-hmm.
on the front, I still have that Bible today, on the front was the word Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And as I opened the book, there was the story of the Gideons. And of course, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know where that story goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was led to the passage, you know, that talked about specifically what that story was, where he was chosen to free the Israelites, and there was like all these soldiers that he had, and then he was actually shown that you don't need all those folks, this is the number I need. And anyway, that went on to me coming back from that conference and having this nudging on myself, like, okay, that's all well and good, and I got some other, you know, passages to go to. But over the next 3 months, I would be between places. Almost I would be like, I'm not here, because I was really struggling with what else is my life worth? What is my life purpose? And I don't know what else to do. And I went to work pretty much just almost like a zombie. You know, you go to work, you work, but the joy in my life was pretty much gone. That
mm-hmm.
year of 07, that was 06, January of 07, I was watching television, you know, the televangelists. I don't know what, I turned the TV on, and there was this person talking about fasting and wanting the breakthrough, and how, you know, and they were talking about the Daniel fast, and it was really about like first seeds and you know, and first, you know, all the first fruit stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I decided, like in my gut, I knew this was something I had to try. It's something I had to do for myself. And I didn't tell anyone about it. I think I shared it with only my mom. And then I actually was led to go on this search or the journey for, it became a self-realization, self-awareness, self-discovery, and truth for me. It wasn't about anybody else outside of me. This was me digging deep and having that true relationship with spirit and understanding what that all meant. And that's what that began. It was done in January. I started January 7th, 2007, the year where everything became a seven in my life. And, you know, it was, I've been here 14 years. I had seven miscarriages. It'd been 7 years before I went back and got married. I was 37, you know, so everything was a seven. And, I mean, I'm not in any kind of numerology. I don't believe in all that stuff, but that was significant to me.
Because seven is the year of completion, you know? It's the number of completion. So, it's just amazing. Just so amazing. So, let us talk about completing the Daniel fast for 40 days. Really crying out to God and asking God, why am I here? Tell me, God, who am I? You know, my birth certificate says I'm Sean, but who am I really? He showed you, and you evolve out of that fast, realizing what?
I realized that beyond anything else, we were one with Source, that I was one with everything about me, that nothing that I required or nothing that I desire was something I could not have, and that everything was already done, and that I needed to let go, and I needed to surrender, and I really realized that the highest virtue of all is love, and I came out of that in a very, very, I think I really specifically came out of it just feeling totally light, totally free. I said I came out of my fast not knowing, knowing that nothing was impossible, that I was going to move forward in belief, doing good and being of service with a commitment to helping others to know that we are our brother's keeper, helping others to know that we are all one and have come from one source, helping others to find their inner wisdom, knowing the greatest virtue is love.
Well said. Well said. Because until we can love each man like we love ourselves. And I know for some people it's a challenge because they really don't love themselves. But until we can begin to love ourselves, then we are not able to portray love to any other man. And when, for those of us who know and understand what it means to love ourselves, then we are now in a position to begin to love others. We are at 10:42, Sean, and I know you will be going momentarily. I want to encourage the listeners, though. Let me hear from you. Give us a call, 646-915-8166. I would love to hear from you, and I know Sean would love to hear from you as well. Let us talk about faith versus faith. F-A-I-T-H versus F-A-T-E. Powerful topic. Powerful title.
Well, the title came from me during the fast. It wasn't, I didn't intend to tell my story. I didn't intend to write the story. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't know I was a writer before this all came to being. That's why I tell people all that you are is already within you. You might think you don't have education, or you're not good enough, or you know, whatever your social status might be, that doesn't determine who you are, because you are all perfect in spirit, and you come having everything. So
that's right.
I got, this was downloaded to me about, you know, way into my fast, and I got, you know, I said, okay, God, I got the name, and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I keep questioning. Well, I just keep pushing it aside, and, you know, I'm like, okay, fine. If this is what you want me to write my story, be so vulnerable, because, I mean, there's a lot about my life that I think I was holding on to, but that was the freedom. That was the freeing. That was the healing that began. So when I got the words faith versus faith, I'm like, what is that supposed to mean? So what I did was, as technology would have us, I was prompted to go online and, you know, just to look and see whether there's anything like that out there. And beholding to myself, surprisingly, there was nothing out there as a book, Food Versus Fate. There was nothing out there when I got this in 07. But after the book was done, I actually, and the funny thing about it, let me go back a little bit. The whole thing happened as such a miracle. The right person showed up. The right phone call happened. My biographer initially, this is my second edition, actually. The first edition, I had a biographer, and I wrote the story, and, you know, he did the rewrites and built it all together into, like, not a original biography, but moved it into, like, conversation, because he's a playwright. But this playwright I met, Daphne, 19 years ago. When I was back in my country, didn't know that this person was here in America. And my husband at the time was writing as well and had called this gentleman to review his work. The gentleman called our house and got me, and the rest is history.
My God.
But everything just kind of, it's a miracle how that happened. But anyways.
God supplies.
He does.
Once you take the action, he supplies. And the reason a lot of the listeners are not moving and nothing is happening is because they are not taking action, you know?
Yeah, you have to. You have to become the thing, and then you have to move to acquire it. It has to be where you add action to that step. But I was really doubting myself and fearful and saying I can't do this. Everybody talk about writing their story, and they never do, and all this stuff. But something happened a few weeks later, into like I think March of that year, where the tides turned, and I couldn't sleep, I couldn't rest, and I was on my laptop, and my book was finished. Hopefully, your audience don't share this. Whoever might be publishers or authors out there, like on the line, I finished my manuscript in 5 weeks. And I was told it would be 2 years to get the book done. In 2 years, though, I've redone the book, and it's now second edition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that to me, it's a dynamic story, and I couldn't have done it on my own. That's all, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know something? When God is doing a thing, he's not working on chronological time.
No, linear time is the matter.
That's right. So, yes, man has their time, but God say, you watch me. Get out of my way and let me do my thing. You know?
Yes.
So, I you know, tell who do you encourage to get the book? The book is up on our blog site on the radio, so you can go there, people, and you can see. But who do you encourage to read the book, Sean?
I encourage, you know, women who are feeling as though they don't have, you know, have a prayer. They feel as though the world has given up on them. They feel as though, you know, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. They're discouraged. They're having struggle in different areas of their lives, and they're wanting inspiration. The book is really about inspiration and empowerment and helping people to rise above their limitations and realize we need to own who we are. We are divine beings with unlimitless potential. And regardless of what's going on in your life right now, you can make the difference. You can transform. But you have to be willing and acknowledge that you can and step into that place and realize it's like holding a pen in your hand. And if you hold on to that pen right now very, very tightly and you squeeze that pen, I feel you get uncomfortable because your hand is going to begin to pain. Open your hands and allow the pen to now roll around in your hands, and then just kind of turn your hand upside down and drop the pen. You see how you feel when you do that. It's like you want to drop everything in your life that's not bringing you anything good. Mm-hmm. Just like you can do that with a simple analogy of holding the pen, we can do that with the emotional baggage and the stuff that we let clutter or manifestation. So it's really about, you know, helping and encouraging folks. So women who are in different situations or women who are wanting to help other women, I think, you know, this book is really going to speak to the hearts of folks who are looking to transform their lives and ready to step into who they really are, the true being that we were sent here to be, because we all choose to be here. We were here before even time and space. You know, we were already, you know, designed. So really embodying, because consciousness really precedes form, and we are here to live out and expand life. We are creative beings. We are co-creators. So the book really, you know, men have read the book and cried, so I'm not leaving the men out. But I think women need to understand we stand to hold a role in the process of our transforming ourselves and then expanding that to our families, our communities, and our world. Mm-hmm. And once we do that, the men will be with us. So
that's right.
I think women
that's right.
has this next cycle, you know, of this era, of this decade, to take back that power and realize that we are the ones that will do it. The men is looking for us for that support. Mm-hmm. And we have to take on that identity. And as you're the authentic lady, be authentic.
Exactly. Because you know something? The change and turnaround of the world's economy is the responsibility of two set of people. And those people are women and entrepreneurs. Because we have a passion of creating new things as women. We are nurturers. We know how to make something out of nothing. And those are the same traits of real entrepreneurs. So our work is cut out for us, and we need to make a mark in history in 2010 as women and also as entrepreneurs. Sean, we just have a few minutes left. I would love for you to give your closing thoughts. How would you like the listeners to remember you when they listen to this segment? And also at the end of that, please give your contact information.
Sure. There's a few words I'd like to say, and it's really about encouraging you to keep the faith. On the road of life, there are speed bumps that will slow you down. You will even get ticketed for being yourself. But you have to face your fears anyway and realize that you have no limits. So be who you are, embrace who you are, and, you know, everything belongs to you. You know, everything is created for you anyway. So if you face the fears anyway, realize that you have no limits anyway, you shall definitely be victorious. And you can reach me. My website is my name, SeanStevenson.com, and that's spelled S-H-A-U-N. The last name is Stevenson with a P-S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S-O-N. SeanStevenson.com is the easiest way to reach me, and the book is on there as well. So I look forward to, you know, to hearing from you and hearing your experiences of the book and letting me know what you feel and how I can help. I'm here to serve, and I'm here to be of service, so feel free to reach out.
All right. Of course, you are listening to my friend and colleague, Sean Stevenson, who is the author of Faith versus Fate. Sean, I want to thank you for coming on and really adding value to my listeners and myself. I want to encourage you, my sister, to keep doing God's work, because this has only just begun for you. There are a lot of other amazing things that you are getting ready to do. Know that I'm only a tweet away, a text away, or a phone call away, because I am here to serve and to add value. I want to encourage you to keep doing the work that you're doing, and I pray for your continued good health and great success.
Well, thank you, Daphne. You are so, I could never beat your comments. You're such a giver, and I want to give it back right at you, because, you know, you inviting me on your show is truly a tremendous opportunity and blessing, and I'm so grateful for, to have met you and shared your energy and shared your enthusiasm. And just know that I'm a click away also. We all on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, texting, whatever it is. And I truly, truly appreciate this. And it's been a joy. Thank you so much for having me. And enjoy the rest of your week. And may you be dynamic. Continue to be dynamic, Daphne.
Thank you so very much, Sean. Yes, that was Sean Stevens, the author of Faith versus Fate. And if you go to our website here on Blog Talk, you can see the book is pulled up there. And support her. Support her in whatever way you can. You know, send her an email, encourage her to do whatever she is doing, because we all have a story to share. We all have a story to share. And, you know, I would love to hear your story here on the A New Day show. And for those of you who are listening, I would love for you to follow me on Twitter. I also have a fan page on Facebook. I am all over the place. So hook up with me. Connect with me. Check my blog out. I have a new blog, Queen of the Empowered Soul, at blogspot.com. So check it out and give me some feedback on what I'm doing there. So far, we have two entries there. We have authenticity and we have attitude. And I want to hear from you. I too need your encouragement. And I would love for you to mark my show favorite and let me know how the show is doing. And, you know, if you have learned anything specific from the show, I want you to let me know that. I also, the website for the Vision Weekend Conference is visionweekendconference.com. So check it out. We are looking for vendors, diverse vendors and exhibitors. Again, the date for the Vision Weekend Conference is September the 3rd and 4th. It will take place at the Exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested in the unique New England town of South Barry. So you don't want to miss that. We have early bird registration that is up right now, and we want you to go there. Tell your friends about it. And if you are interested in being a vendor, let me know about that. And if you are looking to get group rates, if you are looking to bring a group on, please give us a call and we will let you know how much it is for group, because that's not listed on the site there. So if you have a group of 10 or more, please give us a call, 860-355-9838 or 718-753-0244 or 203-885-9434. And you and I will be spending the remainder of the show here. So you can call me with your questions, suggestions, or remarks of anything you would like to discuss for the next hour, because we do not have another guest coming on. So you will be spending this time with me, and I would love to hear from you. I am also looking for some people who are interested in selling advertisement for a radio show. So you can send me an email or you can leave me a message here on the radio show, or send me a message at dynamicdaphne@aol.com, and I will give you more information about that. So now we are going to be talking about some more aspects. Last week we spoke about focusing and some of the things that we need to do about focusing and how we can achieve our goals and focus. So, seeing that we do not have another guest coming on, I would love for us to continue this conversation. And we are going to talk about the Achievers Focusing System. And we are going to look at certain areas of our lives. And the first area we want to look at is our finances. The finances is divided into total income and the amount of money you want to save or invest during this time. If you are paying down debt, you can also record the amount. So there is a plan here, and you know that the book I was using for that is a book by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Hewitt. So they give an Achievers Action, Achievers Focusing System. And it says here, in the system, it gives you when you start, so a from date and a to date. Goal is to select one goal in each of the seven areas for clarity. Keep it simple and specific. The 7 days focus at the beginning of each week. The three most important things you want to accomplish, choose activities that will move you together, will move you toward the completion of your seven major goals. Make contacts with your focus partner to review your progress. So they are suggesting that you work this plan with a partner and someone else. So the first area you would work on is your finances. And you're going to list there, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 different columns. And you have week 1, you have week 2, and you're going to do this plan for 12 weeks. So you are going to write down the amount of money you earn. You're going to write down the amount of money you invest. And you're going to write down the amount of debt that you are paying down to reduce by. So let's say this plan, action plan here has you earning $12,000. You invested $2,000 out of that 12, and you paid down your debt by $1,000. Now, for week 1, the focus partner contacted. Did you contact someone to be your focus partner? And then you have 2 boxes there. You check yes or no. Specific game plan for, let's say, you're in business and you're having a sales contract. You have a specific action plan for that, that you both work it out, both your focusing partner and yourself. Then you move into the business section. Now, for example, what projects are you working on? Are you looking to make phone calls for more customers or clients? Are you looking to do a specific amount of sales? Here in the plan, it says, I'm celebrating our new product launch on Friday. So you know what it is that you are doing, and you just put that in that slot. Always hold yourself accountable, and you're going to document, have you contacted your focus partner? And that's you're on week 2. Now, the third thing here on the plan is fun time. Total days off for relaxation, vacation, or rejuvenation. And in this plan, I am enjoying 17 days off for fun. You know, as entrepreneurs or small business owners, we oftentimes think it is not a good thing to have some fun and to just have relaxing time. But unless we can have fun, we are not going to be enjoying and experiencing the real success that we deserve. So we need to focus on having fun doing whatever else we are doing. The next area to look on is our area of health. Physical, mental, and spiritual health. Each and every one of us on the face of this earth need to concentrate on these three areas of our health. A lot of people are so tied up into religion, and religion oftentimes is not really healthy. So we need to understand about our spirituality and how it connects to our mental and physical health. You know, it is important to take some quiet time. I know as women, sometimes we have challenges in taking quiet time because we look around and we see so much which needs doing. And we are saying, oh, I can't take any time. Oh, I got to prepare for dinner. I got to do the laundry. I got to fold the laundry. I got to wash the clothes. I got to. And you need to know that until you practice some quiet time, you are not going to be doing yourself any justice. So your reward each day is to take, if you cannot take a lot, take 30 minutes of quality time where you can sit back, you can listen to some music, you can just sit back, relax, or you can go outside and you can take a walk and just enjoy your day. The next area of focus is on relationships, family, personal, and business relationship. We need to continuously invest in those areas because those are the things that will help our businesses to grow. A lot of time we make the connections on these relationships and we do not nurture them in order to sustain them and to build up on them. So it is important to keep revisiting our relationship. Keep revisiting our relationship so that we can really get the interest in them. And just we can add value to these people as well as they can add value to us. So it is very important to keep revisiting all of the relationships that we begin. The next section we need to concentrate and focus on is personal. How are we investing in ourselves and who we are? Are we reading books? Are we taping, listening to tape? Are we going to conferences? Are we going to seminars? How are we investing in who we are? We need to know that learning is a continuous process. We do not ever arrive. We are always a work in progress, and we need to continue to invest and reinvest in who we are. We need to get into the habits and practices of filling ourselves with the good things, not only nutritionally, but spiritually as well. so that we can be the best at all times. We have to see our dreams manifesting before our eyes. We have to feel these things. You heard my guest earlier on sharing that for her entire life, she wanted to come to America. She was writing letters to her auntie, and yet she did not get her passport until she was 17 years old. She applied for that passport, and then it was 7 years later that she got the visa to come to America. But the one thing she mentioned was that she never, ever gave up on her dream to come to America. How many of you out there have dreams that you gave up on? And I know there are many of you, so you might as well raise your hand and say, I'm one. But you know the great thing about it? You can go back and you can rekindle the flame of those dreams. You can pick your dreams up again. You can dust them off and you can live those dreams. You can have those dreams to be manifested in your life. It is never too late to start over. It is never too late to begin something that's been laying dormant in your life. Never, never, never. It is never too late. The next area of focusing in this achievers system is contribution. Giving back. You know, a lot of people look and they say, I don't have money to give, but you have some time. You have kind words. You can always give something to somebody. Always. Each and every one of us have something to give. We can give a smile. And for those who will accept it, we can give a hug. It was just this morning I was having a conversation with my sister and friend. And I was telling her that the benefits that I do gain now from living in America, and for as many people that has blessed me on occasions, some with money, others with things, you know, some people just invite me over for dinner. Many, 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 many blessings. And as I look back, when I was living in Jamaica, I did a lot of great things. I contributed to a lot of people's lives. I was involved in the community. Right now, I am still involved in the community. But little did I know that those seeds that I planted, I would live to harvest those seeds in a country way across the Caribbean Sea. You know, it doesn't matter what little you can do. It really does not matter. The important thing is that you step out in faith and help somebody. Help somebody. Now, let us move into some of what it takes to build a solid foundation. We are We are creatures of habits, and we have to understand about the habits that we become a part of. And here, the authors have in this book here, how to build a solid foundation. And at the bottom, your habits will determine your future. So, if you have a crappy habit, if you know, if you're not doing anything positive, nothing good, you have to re-look that up. Then you go up the different rungs. It's not hocus pocus. It's all about focus. So, in other words, you have the ability to create the lifestyle that you want. No one is preventing you. No one can get in your way unless you give them the permission to do so. Do you see the big picture? Look at yourself. Are you seeing the glass half full or half empty? Only you can answer that question. But until you start viewing your life on these steps that I'm discussing with you, you will not be able to create the lifestyle that you so richly deserve and hopefully desire. Creating an optimum balance. What kind of a life are you living? Are you a person that just work on the job? You come home, you work. You go to bed, you wake up, you work. You go to the job, you work. Well, and I'm speaking to myself as well, because those habits are not habits that will help you to portray optimum balance in our lives. We must take time for rest and relaxation. We can all find a little something to do in our communities. You know, we can go for a walk with a neighbor. I live in a lake community, so I have the opportunity to go down to the lake and to look around and just walk or just sit down and meditate and enjoy the scenery. What are you doing to create some balance in your life? Building excellent relationships. We had just mentioned this a couple of minutes ago when we were discussing the other points and focusing. We all need relationships in our lives, because we cannot be lone rangers. The days of lone rangers are all gone. We cannot do anything by ourselves. We are human beings, and human beings need to be in relationship. I know oftentimes, I know growing up as a child, I was told that cats and dogs really don't get along. But living here in America, it's not so, because oftentimes you go into a family, they have cats and they have dogs, and they are both cuddling up together. So animals knows the importance of getting into a relationship. So what excuses do we as human beings have? We got to be like little children. Little children, they just forge relationships right off the bat. They will talk to anybody. They'll ask any questions, and they are so pure and they are so authentic and organic with the way that they do things. They are fearless. I was speaking with a friend of mine, and she was mentioning about her 6-year-old daughter. And when she takes her daughter to the expos, her daughter will walk up to the vendors and ask them, "May I please have a business card?" And she's only 6 years old. And there are lots and lots of us adults who will go out and we are so afraid of speaking to someone that we had never met before. So building excellent relationships is beneficial to us. If we are entrepreneurs, we are in the business of building relationships. We cannot sit around on the sidelines any longer, because you never know, we never know who will bring us our next client. We will never know where the next person is that we will get to make a difference and an impact in their lives. How is your confidence? Do you have a great confidence factor? Again, only you can answer that. Because a lot of us, we are masters of covering up our low self-esteem and all those things. So look at your confidence. How is your confidence? Do you believe in you? Do you believe that inside of you lies all the things that you need to become successful? Do you believe that? God has already supplied all our needs. We are only lacking because we refuse from claiming what is ours. We have it all. We have all the resources. We have all the money. We have all the know-how to do the things that we need to get done. Do you believe that about yourself? If you believe that about yourself, I want you to get on the telephone right now. Give me a call at 646-915-8166 and let's just talk about that. What does that feel, that conference feel, that you are so sure about why you are here? Call me and let us talk about that. The next run on this ladder of a solid foundation is, are you willing? Are you bold enough to step out there and ask for the help that you need? Ask for what you need. It might be money. It might be new clients. It might be somebody to network. It might be somebody to be on your mastermind group. What is it that you need? Are you bold enough to just step out and ask for that thing? Listen, you got to see yourself asking. Put yourself in the position. And don't ask somebody small. Step out in faith and go for it. Don't allow anything to hold you back. Because you're going to be sitting on the sidelines and somebody who is bolder than you are, they are going to be stepping out. They are going to be taking action. And you are going to be saying, oh, I wanted to do that, but I was waiting for the right time. The right time, ladies and gentlemen, is right now. So be bold. Step out and just follow out and ask for what it is that you want. What is it you need that will take your business to the next level? What is it you need to start that idea that is laying dormant in you? What is it you need that will help you to attract the right client? What is it you need to help to manifest your vision, your calling, and your purpose? Be bold in stepping out there and asking for what you want. Are you consistently persistent. Yes, somebody might tell you no. You have to know that it's not no forever, it's just no right now. So, step out there. You know, be persistent with it. You went, you asked before, and they said no, that's all right. You go back again, you be more creative. Refresh your redesign or modify your pitch or your request or your draft. Do what it is to make sure your stuff is fresh when you go back. And to as many times that you can go, you go because you want to wear them down because you are persistent. And before long, they are going to be saying to you, man, you just don't give up. And you said, no, because God has me here for a reason to create a legacy. If I give up, who is going to do that job? There's nobody to do that job because this job is mine to be done. Nobody on the face of this earth will be able to do that. And you know what? God has trusted me enough to give me this task and the responsibility of fulfilling it. I cannot give up. I must be persistent. And you do that with a lot of passion and energy. They will now begin to support your calling and your request, because they're saying you are on fire for what it is that you are called to do. Now, are you able to take decisive action? Remember that God gives you this purpose, and he calls you, and he wants you to honor that call. Now, are you sitting down and you are waiting on God? Oh, I know I'm waiting on the Lord. I am just waiting on the Lord. Yes, my sister, I've been waiting on the Lord for 32 years. The Lord has placed this vision. This big vision, big, big vision. He placed it in my heart. He placed it on my spirit. And I'm waiting on him to help me manifest it. Now you all know that God already gave you every single thing that you need to help in the manifestation of this vision. He has already gave it to you. Why are you sitting down and not taking action? You do not need to wait on him anymore. You need to take action. He's right out there in front of you with his arms stretched forward. And he's saying, come to me, my child. Come to me, my child. Come to me, my child. You are destined for greatness. Come to me, my child. I know I was right when I gave you this vision. I know I was right when I called you to take action with this. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, my child. Now, if you are just sitting in your fluffy, luscious recliner, you will not see that God is out there calling you to come. He's been out there for the 32 years that you've been sitting down. He is out there with his arms stretched and calling you to come forward, to come to him. So, take action. Yes, your feet might be wobbly when you start to take action, but who cares? You fall down, Then you get up, brush yourself off, you take a step. You fall again, you pick yourself up, brush yourself off, take some action. Keep going forward, keep going forward, keep going forward. But I tell you something. When you get that glimpse and you see the hand of the Father outstretched and calling you to come to you, to come to Him, you will be so energized. You will be so fulfilled. And you will be glad that you took some decisive action. Excuse me, I got to get a sip of tea. I tell you, ginger tea is the best. I switched from my regular green tea this morning, and I'm sipping on some ginger tea, and I just love ginger. Yes. Excuse me. So we were talking about, taking decisive action in helping to build a solid foundation. Now, you are at the top of the ladder. And when you have your habits, when you realize that your habits will determine your future, you know it's not hocus pocus. In life, in order to get what you want, you have to focus. You know you got to keep seeing the big picture. You know that your life deserves to create optimum balance. You know you got to keep building and building excellent relationships. You know you need to concentrate on your confidence factor. You know you got to go out there. You got to be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold in asking for those things that you want. You got to step out there. You got to be bold in the asking and know that you already have received it even before you stepped out there. Consistent. You need to be consistently persistent. Don't give up. Don't you ever take no for an answer. Go back as many times as it takes you to get a yes. Once you get a no, you come back, you revise, refresh, modify your stuff so that it becomes fresh. And you go back again. You are going to go. You keep going with energy and excitement. And they can see the fire in you. And they can see that you believe in what you are doing. You will wear them out. They too will begin to believe in what you are doing. And they will buy into your dream and they will start supporting you. You know that you got to take decisive action. Remember, sitting and waiting will not get you anywhere. You need to take decisive action. Action is what will propel you. Because if you sit and wait for everything to fall into place, it is not going to happen. You got to get up, make a few mistakes if necessary, but you got to take action. Can you imagine giving birth to a baby? And the baby never tries to walk. The baby never pulls on the crib to stand up. Can you imagine what would have happened? But you look on a child. I mean, we as entrepreneurs, we can learn a lot from children. Because we look, children, they take risk. You'll see a baby, they walk in, they fall down, they get up, they try to grab onto something, and they stand up again, and they're going. Look on a child learning to ride a motorcycle. They may fall down, they get right up, and they go back on with all the zeal and excitement that they have. And we, as entrepreneurs, we need to be able to take decisive action for the things that we believe in. And at the top of the run, when you reach the pinnacle now and you got all the stuff in order, now you are living your life on purpose. And each and every one of us, we were created to live our lives on purpose. God brought us in this life for a reason. He brought us in this world. He gave us life for a specific, unique reason. And when we identify with and connect with what that purpose is, oh my heavens, what a joy. What a satisfaction, what an excitement it is for us to live our lives with purpose. It gives us passion in life. It helps us to wake up every day. It helps us to just, you know, in some states we have so much snow around the winter time, but when we live a life on purpose, the snow does not stop us from going out there and from doing our thing. Because we know that we are what we are created by God to do. So if you have any questions, please give me a call at 646-915-8166. Give me a call and let us talk about some of the things that has been happening in your life. I want to again remind you of some things that is coming up. I want to remind you that I will be starting in June. I'm going to be starting a series called Honor Your Calling. And I want to get me some unique guests, people who are honoring why God called them to be here. They might be entrepreneurs, they might be small business owners, but I know they're out there. So send me an email, go to the website here for the blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson and send me a message. Let me know whether or not you are honoring your call. Are you honoring what God called you to do? I want you to come on here. I want you to share your stories with the rest of the world so you too can encourage someone. The other thing I want to talk to you about is the Vision Weekend Conference that is coming up on September the 17th. On September the 3rd and 4th. It will take place here in Connecticut at the exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested in the unique New England town of Southbury. Check the website out at visionweekendconference.com. We are looking for vendors. We are looking for exhibitors. You can go on there and just download the form to be an exhibitor or a vendor. You can sign up for the early bird registration that is still up and going. And please share the link with others so that they too can come and learn the techniques and skills to share their vision, shaping their vision for greater success. Again, you have any questions or any remarks you want to talk about my guest today or my discussion, please call me at 646-915-8166. And if you have a unique, empowering story, I would love to get into conversation with you. So why don't you let me speak with you? If you are a regular listener to the show, please mark it favorite so that you will be kept informed of the new guests that we have on each week and what our discussions will be. Again, the Vision Weekend Conference is scheduled for September the 3rd and 4th at the exquisite Heritage Hotel Golf and Spa, nested in a unique New England town of Southbury. Visit the website visionweekendconference.com. If you are looking to bring a group of 10 or more, give us a call at 860-355-9838 or 718-753-0244 or 203-885-9434. And I am so blessed and so privileged to have each of you being a regular guest and to listen in to my show each week. Faith is often called a leap. Faith is leaping across the gaps between the known and the unknown, the proven and the unproven, the actual and the possible, the gaps, the grasp, and the reach. There is always a chance between where you are and where you are going by faith, the leap forward. What lies ahead tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, beyond this life? Believe in faith, believe in God, believe in tomorrow, and take the leap of faith. You know that you listened to my guest earlier on, and she shared a magnificent story. And I tell you something, my story is something similar to hers. And, you know, in this life, we are so alike. We have more in common than what separates us. And we all need to learn to share our stories. Share our stories, because we never know who our stories will impact and what will make a difference. attitude has a lot to do with your success and your ability to get what you want. As you are probably aware, attitude can change quickly. In fact, every day your attitude is severely tested. One of the greatest examples of losing confidence occurred at the 1996 Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Australian Greg Norman, a premier golfer and one of the favorites to win the championship, had performed brilliantly. At the end of the third day, he was 6 strokes ahead of his nearest rival, and with only one more round remaining, Norman seemed a cast iron, certainly to wear the famous green jacket presented to the winner on Sunday afternoon. All he needed was an average performance to secure the win. Unacceptable, however, his game collapsed during the final round. With 24 hours less, his 6-stroke leap evaporated and he ended up losing by 5 strokes to Nick Faldo, who had quickly chipped away at Norman's seemingly insurmountable lead. Indeed, it was Faldo's persistence and confidence that eventually caused the upset. In fact, Faldo has made a habit of coming from behind to win, having won back-to-back Masters between 1989 and 1990 in similar fashion. As the final round progressed, Greg Norman's attitude noticeably deteriorated. The confident strides seen the day before changed to slumber shoulders, and a blank expression appearing in his eyes as he saw his longtime dream to become Masters champion disappear. His plummeting downfall spiral was a poignant reminder of how fickle confidence can be. Strong and positive one day, in total disarray the next. To combat this, let's look at some practical strategies that will help boost your confidence. 1. Every day, remind yourself that you did something well. Instead of dwelling on what didn't work or the task you didn't finish, focus on what you did accomplish. Don't maximize these. Use your be alert daily habit to clarify this. Give yourself a mental pep talk at the beginning and the end of the day. Coach yourself just like you would help someone else to overcome their challenge. Read inspiring biographies and autobiographies. We want to reinforce this one more. Read books, articles, and magazines. Build a file of those stories that inspire you most. Record special TV documentaries. Listen to tapes or watch videos. Go to the movie. There are a lot of great stories out there. Find out about people who started with nothing or who had devastating setbacks and still found a way to win. Remember, your capacity far exceeds your current level of performance. Live without challenge is an illusion. Accept the fact that you will have ups and downs, just like everyone else. Your confidence grows when you actively take on the challenges of life. You won't win them all, but with the right attitude, you'll win more than enough. Be thankful, no matter how bad your circumstances may be. There's probably someone who's worse off than you. If you doubt this, volunteer your time in an acute care burn ward of a children's hospital. Put things into perspective. Think of all the things and people you take for granted that are not available in other countries. Most of your problems will be pale in comparison when you take a mental snapshot of all the benefits you enjoy every day. Build excellent support around you. If you need a boost, refresh your memory by reviewing your list of excellent relationships that you have created. Push yourself to accomplish short-term goals. There's no greater way to build confidence than getting things done. Create an environment of accomplishment every week. Focus on your three most important targets. Every day, do something that moves you closer to finishing a project. Closing a sale or expanding a relationship. Don't allow yourself to be distracted or interrupted. By doing so, we'll eliminate the feelings of guilt and failure. Take one small step at a time. Make sure your goals are realistic. Self-rejection can shatter your confidence. So don't beat yourself up when everything doesn't come together as planned. Be flexible, and when others say no to you, don't take it personally. Accept the fact that you need to lose something before you can win. Do something for yourself every week. Find a way to celebrate your weekly accomplishments. Don't you deserve it? If you said no, go back to step one and start again. This is amazing. I am so excited that I was able to share this with you, because as you heard me mention earlier on, we as entrepreneurs and we as women, we have the responsibility placed on us to take and make a difference in the world's economy. We have the power to do that. We as women and we as entrepreneurs, we know how to make something out of nothing. We have the stamina. We have the desire. We have the urge. We have the continuous persistence to become successful. Do not sit around. Take action. If it is to be, it is up to you. We have designed and created the Vision Conference to help you to do just that. So go on to visionconferenceweekend.com and register to be at the conference with us on September the 3rd and 4th. We will help you to shape your vision for greater success. You do not want to miss out. We will have bankers there who will talk to you about what it takes to get a small business loan to build your business. We will have experts there who will coach you and advise you how to create your business into green businesses so that you can grow your business and secure some federal funding. And for those of you who are looking to bring a group of 10 or more, do not delay. Call us up at 860-355-9838 or 718-753-0244 or 203-885-9434. I am so excited that I was able to spend this time with you, and I look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday, same time, same place, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, when again, my energy and my focus will concentrate on the education, the inspiration, and the empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying so long, and thank you for allowing me this amazing opportunity to spend the last 2 hours with you. I love and I treasure your love and friendship. I do not take it lightly that you spend these Wednesday mornings with me. I want to encourage you to follow your destiny. Do not allow anyone to derail you and to get you off track, because you are created for wonderful and great things. Follow your destiny and keep honoring the call that God has brought you to.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
My destiny. You've been called to change nations.